Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 18. John, chapter 18, verse 37. Towards the end of the chapter. John, chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And our subject this morning is on the side of truth, on the side of truth. This is the theme of our message on the first Lord's Day of the new year, the year 2025. This ought to be our motto text in some ways for the new year, or at least our great principle as we enter into the new year, that we will be those who are on the side of truth. And truth is a theme that runs, of course, right the way through the Bible. It's deeply embedded in the Bible. And in fact, you could say that it defines the Bible. The Bible is truth. And it's a theme that I often speak on. I will be repeating things I am sure that I have said previously. But this is so important for us at the beginning of this year, to think about what truth is. Very simply, we could, of course, go into a very profound examination of what truth is, and I was tempted to in certain places this morning, but this will be very simple. Everyone should be able to understand this and apply this to themselves. Are we on the side of truth? And to help us understand what truth is, we're going to be looking at this account in the Gospel of John, which takes place near the very end of the earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have, of course, over the Christmas period, been focusing on events at the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry, or earthly pilgrimage, we could say, his incarnation. But this account focuses on the very end of his earthly ministry, only a few hours before his death. And he is standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, well, he was, as many of you will know, he was 2,000 years ago the Roman governor of Judea, a very small part of the vast Roman Empire. And the Lord Jesus Christ, why is he standing before Pontius Pilate? Well, because the leading Jews want to put him to death. The Jews themselves are not able to put anybody to death. They are under the authority of the Romans. And so if anybody is going to be put to death, it's the Romans who put them to death, not the Jews. They don't have that right. They don't have that jurisdiction. And the Jews desperately want to do away with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they bring the Lord Jesus to Pontius Pilate so that he can authorize the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, the Jews, of course, as you will know, they have despised the Lord ever since he began preaching and teaching, because he spoke the truth, and we'll think about that in just a few moments. They have held a trial, a sham trial. They have brought him to the high priest, and they have found him guilty of blasphemy, claiming that he is the Son of God. This is blasphemy for the Jews. This is a great crime. And so this is why they want to put him to death. And they bring him to Pilate. But now Pilate is questioning the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, because he is perplexed, why are the Jews so desperate to have him executed? And so Pilate himself is questioning him. And we see some of the questioning here in verse 33. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Well, if the Lord Jesus claims to be a king, well, then this is a problem. Because if he's a king, well, he's a rival to the Roman authorities. It's the Romans who rule around here. And if this Jesus of Nazareth is saying he's a king, well, then this is a threat to the Roman power. And perhaps this is a reason why the Lord Jesus must be executed. So you can understand his line of reasoning here. Are you a king? Are you a rival to the Roman authority? And what does the Lord answer? Well, he says, yes, but he says something very important also, and we read this earlier, verse 36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. He is a king, but he's not an earthly king. His kingdom is not of this world. He's not an earthly king. Many people, even including the disciples for a while, they thought that when the Messiah came, he would be an earthly king, setting up an earthly kingdom, an earthly palace. Israel would be the foremost nation in the world. Everyone would bow to this king, everyone on earth. He'd have his own army and everything like that. But the Lord Jesus, this is not an earthly kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. This is what he has come to set up, a spiritual kingdom, one that lasts forever. An earthly kingdom doesn't last forever. Empires rise, empires fall. The Roman Empire, they were at their peak at this time, but then it fell. And then you have the Greeks, you have the Babylonians, the Assyrians, even earlier, they rise and fall. This kingdom will never fall. This is a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom that's just temporary. This is eternal, everlasting. And there are spiritual riches in this kingdom, not earthly riches. Again, this is the mistake that so many Christians make, that when we come to Christ, well, it's all about earthly riches, earthly status, earthly gain. That's not true. It's a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world, so that we have worldly riches. Of course not. It's spiritual riches, it's peace, it's joy, it's mercy, it's forgiveness for all our sins. These are the riches of this kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is not of this world. It is spiritual by nature. And again, well, this is something we have to be reminded of this year as we live as Christian people. We are blessed, but it's not necessarily earthly blessings, because this is not an earthly religion. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual, everlasting kingdom. So we remember that, but my focus is on truth. Of course it is. This morning, and we're speaking about this wonderfully important theme of truth. And this is what he says in verse 37. Thou sayest that I am a king. You have said, well, Pilate, I am a king. His kingdom is not of this world, but he is a king. But this is how importantly the Lord sees truth. He says that this was the reason, or one of the reasons, why he even came into the world. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Well, what does this mean? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Well, the most simple thing we can say about that statement is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world so that we can know, so that we can be sure that there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as truth. And we have to affirm this because we know that there are many people nowadays who like to think that there is no such thing as truth. That is what people like to say, and philosophers like to put forward. There is no such thing as truth. Not really. It doesn't really exist. There's certainly no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as one truth, one all-encompassing truth that we all must adhere to. People don't believe that nowadays. An alarming number of people don't believe that. There is no absolute truth, they will tell you. What is true for you is not true for me. And what is true for him is not true for her. So there are actually many truths. There's not just one truth, not one all-encompassing truth. There are many truths. There's hundreds, thousands of truths out there. There's not just one, not one absolute truth. That's what the world thinks. That's what the world has done. It's carved up truth into many different parts and just scattered it around the world amongst the people. You can put it that way. Well, what do Christians think? What does a Christian believe? Well, a Christian knows that there is only one truth. There is only one truth because he knows what the truth is. He knows what the truth is. Or to put it in a better way, he knows who the truth is. He knows who the truth is. And I say this very often when I talk on this subject. The truth is not simply a concept or a philosophical idea. Truth is a person. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what these words mean. This is why he was born. This is why he made himself manifest, so that you can see the truth. You don't have to wonder, what is the truth? Is it here? Is it there? You don't have to ask the question that Pilate asked, what is truth? It's come. This is why he has come into the world. This is why he was born. He is the truth. That is who he is. When we think of the truth, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he declared of himself here. He says also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And these words, well, they are so very important for us to understand. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So you see what he is doing here. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth, he didn't make himself equal to God alone. Of course, he was equal to God, but he makes himself equal with truth. That is what he's saying here. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He's making himself equal with God. He's making himself equal with truth. And that would, of course, make sense because God is truth. God cannot lie. One of the things that God cannot do is that he cannot lie to us. Of course he can't, because he is truth. That is who he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And that is why he has come to show forth, to make manifest truth to us. So, dear friends, this is very profound, of course, but this is who the truth is. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is how we know that there is only one truth, because there's only one God. There are not many gods. There's only one truth because there's only one God, and God is truth. And so these things we work out, we know, because we are believers in Christ. And Christians, well, we are on the side of truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is one way in which you can define Christians. Christians are not simply religious people or spiritual people. We are those who are on the side of truth. We love truth. That is a great way you can describe or define Christian people, those who are seeking after truth. And many of you are familiar with my testimony. When I was, before I was saved, I was not really looking necessarily for God. I was not specifically looking for religion. I didn't really want to be religious. What was I looking for? I was looking for truth. That's what I was looking for, the truth about all things, not to come to church and do all those things. What is the truth about everything? That's what I was looking for. And when you seek the truth, well, it will always bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other truth. If you earnestly, sincerely seek truth, well, Christ is the final destination. Once you have found Christ, then your searching will cease. You found the truth. You don't need to look anywhere else. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Up until that point, well, you are living in a fiction. You're living in untruth. You are living simply outside of Christ. And this is what I realized when I came to the Lord. Before Christ, what was I living in? I was living in some sort of man-made philosophical world, some invention of man's mind about everything, everything just totally made up. That's how I was living, according to man's opinion of things, living according to man's estimation of things. Everything was man-made. It wasn't truth. Truth is not from man. Truth is from God. Is that you? Are you living in this fictional world? You don't have the truth about everything, about the world, for example. You have this mistaken idea that the world is a wonderful place filled with wonderful people, and you can find happiness and joy in this world, You can find true fulfillment in this world. That's man-made fiction. You see, this is what the world does. The world promises things that are false. It promises things that are false, that are not true. You follow the way of the world, and you will find yourself in a place that they never told you about. They told you something else. They told you a lie. It's not actually the truth. That's what we're living in. If you are without Christ, the world lies to you. It gives you promises. Promises you things that you will never find. It's only in Christ that every promise is fulfilled. In Christ, well, the promise is that we will find true joy in Christ, and we do. That's the truth. The promise is that you will find true fulfillment in Christ. That's true. You do, but not in the world. You follow the way of the world, it will always leave you disappointed because it's lying to you. It's not based on truth. It's based on invention. It's based on man's opinions and ideas and estimations and inventions. It's only in Christ that you can find wonderful things, wonderful life, new life. That is who Christ is to us. So we know the truth about the world through the Lord. We know the truth about ourselves, of course, the truth about man, about men. Now, there is this documentary that has just been produced by a church in Chichester. Some of you will already have known about it or even seen it. And part of this documentary is speaking about the truth of the Bible, the honesty of the Bible. The Bible is so honest. And one of the great points that it makes is that, well, you have the great heroes of faith. You have men like Moses and David and Abraham. But the Bible tells us the truth about all of these wonderful men. Not just that they were great and good, but it teaches us the things they did wrong. Why is that? Because it's true, because it's honest. It doesn't hide anything from us. Abraham and the mistakes that he made lying about his wife, and Moses, his failure at Horeb, smiting the rock, and David, of course, with his adultery, and Bathsheba. You see, if man was writing the Bible, all of these things would have been hidden because, well, these are the heroes. These are the ones we're supposed to look up to. Their faults would not have been recorded. But you see, the Bible is true. It's true. It's honest. It tells the truth about every man, not just some men, every man. And so it tells the truth about us also, the truth about every single one of us. What is true about Moses and Abraham and David? Well, it's true about every Christian. What is the truth about Christians? Christians are not people who are perfect, morally perfect, never putting a foot wrong. That's not the truth about us. That's not the truth. When you look at a pastor, when you look at me, oh, he never does anything wrong. I can tell you most certainly that's completely untrue. The truth is, Christians, we fall, we fail. This is why we need the Lord. We know that we are sinful. And we know that God is holy. That's the truth about God. Again, this year, embrace the truth about God. There are so many man-made ideas about God. So many invented ideas about who God is. And people will say he's not holy. He's not a holy God. He doesn't mind if you sin. That's what people say. God is so nice, so kind. He doesn't mind if you sin. Just do what you want. It's all right. What's the truth about God? The truth. He is a holy God. And he must punish sin. He must. This is what the word of God says. If he does not punish sin, well, then he is an unjust God. Just like a judge in a court of law, a criminal is brought before the judge has to pass sentence. He can't just be nice and say, oh, I'll just let you off. You broke the law, but you know what? I'm a nice person. I'll just let you off. He's being unjust. He's an unjust judge. That cannot be done. And well, of course, when it comes to the Lord, the holy God, he cannot be unjust. He must punish sin. It's true that God is holy, but it's true also that God is love. God is love. And you see, this is the great problem. How can God be holy? How can God punish sin? But how can he also be loving? This is a great problem. How can he be loving and merciful at the same time? Well, this is the solution. He sends down the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You take the punishment. You be their representative. You be their substitute. You take the punishment for them. So then God can be holy. He can be just. He can punish sin. But he can also show mercy to us because Christ has died in our place. He took the punishment for us. This is how we are saved. Every Christian knows this. Every Christian understands this. We must all realize that we are sinful. If we say that we have no sin, says the Apostle John in his letter, if we say that we have no sin, this is who we are. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Dear friends, what a terrible state it is to be deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. We get very angry when other people deceive us, when other people lie to us. We get very angry. Are you deceiving yourself? Saying, I'm not a sinner. I don't need God. I don't need any salvation. You're going to live your whole life like that. You've pledged to spend the whole of this new year deceiving yourself. Dear friends, this is terrible. If anybody is in that state, you must come to the Lord. You must trust in him. I am a sinner. I have sinned against God, but Christ has suffered and died in my place. We must have that faith. Well, let us have that faith this year. Do you know the Lord? Maybe I direct this last part to those of us who profess faith, those of us who say that we know the Lord. Do you truly know the Lord? There are many people, it's very easy to say that you know the Lord, but do you truly know the Lord? Well, you must have that hold upon Christ, upon Calvary. You must realize that Christ has died for you on the cross. You have sinned, but Christ died on the cross for you. Sadly, there are many people who will say they're Christians. They don't believe this. They don't believe in Calvary, that Christ had to die for them. Dear friends, if you don't believe that, I have to say it, you're not truly a Christian. You're not truly a Christian. A Christian doesn't simply just believe that God is there, that God exists. A true Christian doesn't simply believe that the Lord Jesus Christ lived on earth. as a historical figure. A true Christian believes that Christ on the cross died for their sin. That's what a true Christian is. So, dear friends, let us endeavor to be true Christians, to be on the side of truth. Not those of us who simply say that we are Christian, but we're not truly Christian. We must be true believers. Truth, be those who are on the side of truth. We know that Christ has died for us. We know that he has loved us, and we love him. We love him. We love him and we honor him. We are not perfect, of course, but we do that which is pleasing in his sight. May this be our New Year's resolution, dear friends. Hear these words. I, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He is the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do not live any longer under falsehood, under the deceit of this world, or the deceit of yourself. Hear the voice of the Lord. Repent, have faith, turn to him. Live in truth. Let the truth set you free this year to know the Lord and to love him.